الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cherisher, the sustainer, the provider. And we bear witness that there is no deity except Him, and that nobody else is worthy to be called the names of greatness except Him. Nobody is to be treated the way He is to be treated except Him. No one to be treated like God except Him. No one to be begged except Him. No one to be hoped except Him. No one else. And we bear witness and we commit that we are not going to treat anybody else or anything else the way we are treating Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Depend on anything or anybody else the way we depend on Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have hope in the help of anybody else the way we have hope in His help subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness that He has sent many prophets, ending with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guide us, for He is the guidance provider. And this is what we get when we worship the guidance provider. If we worship anything else other than the guidance provider, if we fall into the worship of any other deity, any other thing, like worship of money, like worship of power, like worship of anything else, those things are not the guidance provider. So they are not going to give us guidance. And we will end up losing our way. Because the money is not guidance provider. The money is not merciful either. Anything else you worship other than Allah will suck your blood. If you worship money, money which is the business of At-Takathur, in Surah At-Takathur, if you worship the business of At-Takathur, which is the non-stop more, the business of non-stop more houses, more cars, more money, more and more and more and more, Al-Hakum At-Takathur, you are so busy focusing your attention on the business of non-stop more, and you keep seeking more and more. That is a worship in itself. If you worship At-Takathur, if you worship the God of At-Takathur, the non-stop more, then this God is not merciful. He's going to suck your blood, chew your flesh, and spit you to the grave at the end of your life. It will suck your life completely because it's not Ar-Rahman, it's not Ar-Rahim. Not only that, but it will misguide you because it's not Al-Hadi. The God of At-Takathur is not Al-Hadi. The God of At-Takathur is not Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. When you worship Allah and you give the attention to Allah and Allah becomes in the center of your life instead of the God of At-Takathur, then Allah provides you with the guidance. So you know where are you going, where to turn, right or left. As Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. That Allah makes the faith of the believers a reason for them to be guided. They get guided because of their faith. So when they are at a point of their life where they need to make a decision to turn either left or right, their faith is going to guide them. Their belief in Allah is going to make them see things the way they should be seen, appreciate things the way they should be appreciated, evaluate things the way they should be evaluated. And based on that, they make the right decisions. So it is in our best interest to worship Ar-Rahim. He does not suck our life. He does not consume our existence the way any other God will do, the way money does, the way dunya does. Dunya is like a whale that will swallow you, chew on you, suck all your life, and then at the end, spits you into the grave. And guess what happens, as Allah says, when you go 6 foot underground, Al-Hakum At-Takathur, you have been so busy focusing your attention on the God of non-stop increase, At-Takathur, Hatta Zurtum Al-Maqabir, until you end up 6 foot underground. Guess what happens? The first
thing that leaks out of the eyes of the human in the grave, the first thing that leaks out of the body of the human in the grave are the two eyes. They leak out fast. And then they melt away. And then they leave a void. This void will be filled by dirt. So if what you have right now is not filling your eye, wait when you go 6 foot underground. It's none, the takathur is non-stop desire of increase. That's your desire. Is not going to be stopped. But you will be stopped by death. It will be stopped when you end up 6 foot underground. And whatever wasn't filling your eye before, it will fill your eye. The dirt will fill your eye instead when you go 6 foot underground. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. The threat is strong. كلا سوف تعلمون. That is the first threat. ثم كلا سوف تعلمون. This is a second threat. Indeed, I will show you. Indeed, you will know. Then indeed, you will know. One threat for not focusing your attention on the right deity. And the second threat is for following the wrong deity. And then the ayah, the surah, goes and flows on warning us from the worship of materialism, from being consumed by materialism. Now, an important question rises. How far can I love materialism? Is it natural to love materialism? Of course. Is it natural to love increasing your wealth and house and taking care of your children? Is it natural? Of course it's natural. If I don't love those, would I be a normal person? No, you wouldn't. You have to be as a normal person to love them. Then what is the problem then? Why are you preaching this to us? It's because Allah has drawn the line in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah mentioned 8 things in verse 23 of Surah At-Tawbah, which is Surah number 10. Allah mentioned 8 things. And then at the end, we love those 8 things more than we love anything else. قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ. Say, if your fathers, if your children, if your homes, if your families, if your wealth. Allah mentioned all the 8 things that we love the most. And then he said, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He said, more loved by you than Allah and his prophet. So here is the cutoff line. If your level of love to these things are less than the level of love to Allah, then you're fine. You are a good believer. You are a monotheistic person on following the Tawheed, monotheism. No problem. You can love them up to the limit of the love of Allah. But if you love them now more than you love Allah, according to the ayah says, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, more loved to you than Allah and His Messenger, this is when you fall into trouble. So that is the limit, which is more than Allah, no. Less than Allah, yes. More than Allah, evil love. Less than Allah is good love for believers to enjoy. قُلْ in Surah Al-A'raf, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Ask, tell them, who made haram? The beauty that Allah has created, the materialism, the life that Allah has created for people to enjoy. Who said it is haram? Who said that the fun, the halal fun is haram? There is halal fun, there is halal of everything. Say, ask them, who made it haram? Tell them, قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Tell them that in this life it is for all people, including believers. In the next life, خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. In the next life, it's only for believers. In this life, believers and non-believers get the joy. Whether the believers hunt for halal joy and avoid haram joy, hunt for halal fun, avoid haram fun, and non-believers don't care. Halal, haram, they just enjoy it. This is in this life. And then Allah says, خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, means it's only for believers in the day of judgment. So, there is a surah in the Quran who is dedicated to this struggle, continuous struggle between faith and materialism, between the business of non-stop increase at takathur and between the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seen and the unseen. The now and the later. This surah is Surah Al-Kahf. It represents that war and struggle, historical war and struggle between these two things, materialism and faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whomsoever reads this surah on the day of Friday, Allah will give that person two gifts. The first gift Allah is going to give to that person, he or she will get a light in his or her heart that will last until the following Friday. And if you're wondering what this light is, it is the feeling of being close to Allah. The feeling of the presence of Allah. It is when you feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you all the time. It is when your eyes get tears in them, when you cry, or small tears, small drops, few drops of tears come out of your eye when Allah is mentioned, when you remember Allah, when you remember death. That is the light that lasts for 1 week in your heart. And that light makes it easier for you to worship and makes it harder for you to disobey Allah. So you will dislike more any events that involve disobedience of Allah, and you will like more events that involve obedience and getting closer to Allah. Okay, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَبَّبَ إِلَيْهِمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْهِمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ. As a gift to you, when you stick with iman, Allah gives you a gift. What is it? That He increases your love to the good deeds, and He increases your dislike to the bad deeds. So He's giving you a help. Otherwise, you will not be able to make it. For temptations are so strong, and temptations are so powerful. The people who don't worship Allah, they are being controlled by temptations. Think about it. The most powerful driving force is, in the absence of Allah, is temptations. Temptations are the ones who drive you around. The only force that can conquer temptation and makes you in control of your temptations and don't let your temptations be in control of you, the only force that can do that is the love of Allah, the strong three desires, the love of Allah, the very strong desire to go to Jannah, and the very strong fear from going to hellfire. These three motivations are the only three forces in this existence that can free you from slavery to temptations. So what is it that when you become a slave of Allah, what happens? You free yourself from temptations. Slavery to Allah means freedom from temptations. Freedom from slavery to Allah means slavery to temptations. These are the two forces that exist. Temptations or Allah. You kick Allah out of your heart, temptations will take over. You bring Allah into your heart, temptations will go out. And then you become in control of your temptations. You will be submissive Muslim to Allah. You will not be submissive Muslim to your temptations. When you run through the tests of submission, such as, for example, the one in Ramadan, where your temptations are calling you to eat and drink. Your temptations, don't you feel it? Your temptations are telling you eat and drink during the daytime of Ramadan. You are so tempted. Your temptations are pushing you to eat and drink. At the same time, Allah is telling you, don't eat, don't drink. You demonstrate submission to Allah by following what Allah has said, not following your temptations. So you are in control of your temptations. Your temptations are not in control of you. This test is one of the tests that called tests of submission. Tests of submission that we get into tests of submission as every day many times. The first one is the alarm ringing for the Fajr prayer. That is the first test of submission. Are you going to wake up, conquer the temptation of laziness and sleepiness, wake up and pray Fajr, or you're going to just turn off the alarm and go back to sleep? That is your first test of submission. And then as the day goes on and on and on, you get many, many, many tests of submission during the way. You can lie a little bit and get away with something, or say the truth and lose it. Shaitan makes you always think that you will be a winner if you lie. You will be a winner if you cheat. And let me tell you something. If you ever think that Allah is going to put success in lying and cheating, then you have a low image of Allah. And you better fix your image before you meet Allah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, فَذَٰلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It was, you are here in hellfire because of your low image of your Lord. You have a low image of your Lord. You thought that your Lord is going to make success in lying and cheating. You thought your Lord is going to make the good doers, the people who do good deeds, losers. You thought this and that about your Lord. You thought that your Lord is going to make equal the believers and the non-believers. The good guys and the bad guys, they're going to be equal. They're going to end up 6 foot underground equally without any difference. That is the end of both. You thought this about your Lord? This was your image of your Lord? Here is your place in hellfire for having such an image of your Lord. You thought your Lord, His Majesty, will come down in a form of a human and let a bunch of criminal thugs beat him up real bad, and hurt him, and humiliate him, and then kill him on a cross. That's what you thought? That was your image of your Lord? Here is your place for having such a low image of your Lord. For your Lord is subhanahu wa ta'ala, is way above and beyond any of those low images, any of those ill and sick descriptions of Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, fix your image before of Allah, before meeting Him. The shaitan always tries to make you think you will be a winner if you lie. You will be a winner if you cheat. You will be a winner if you skip the prayer. You will be a winner if you don't go to the masjid. You will be a winner, you will be a winner. Shaitan always tries to make you think that success is when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, if you think that way, then you have developed the low image of Allah. Fix your image before you meet Allah. That is the first benefit we get from reading Surah Al-Kahf, is we get this light in the heart that make us able to see clearly things the way they should be seen. Now, what is the second gift? The second gift is very mysterious gift. The second gift is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect you from the tribulation of the false deceiving Messiah. You might feel strange about this. You say, light in your heart, I understand that. But what kind of benefit is that am I going to get for Allah to protect me from the false deceiving Messiah? We know that the false deceiving Messiah is from the signs of the last day, which is the day of judgment. And most likely it doesn't look like the other signs have showed up that will lead to the appearance of the false deceiving Messiah. So how is this going to be helpful to me if I read Surah Al-Kahf? Why is that true? And the answer is simple. There is a concept called test of submission that we spoke about. This test of submission is in Arabic called fitna, which is a test. This fitna has so many kinds. There are many fitan, many tests of submission. There have variety of tests of submission that you go through every life. One kind of test of submission is called the test of the false deceiving Messiah. What is that test? It is this particular test. It's like, for example, when you go to school, you have a test of math, a test of biology, a test of geography. Every subject has a test. This particular subject, which is the test of the false deceiving Messiah, is the test when you are put in a choice between either sacrificing your basic needs of life, basic needs of materialism, or sacrificing your religion. Either sell your religion and get hold and gain these basic needs of life that you cannot survive without, or sacrifice those basic needs of life that you can't survive about, that you can't survive without, and then gain your religion. It's when you are put in this very critical, very difficult situation, is called the test of the false deceiving Messiah. This kind of test existed all the time. I'll give you an example from Surah Al-Buruj, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people, the believers, who have been tested in Surah Al-Buruj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, I swear by the sky that has mansions, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, and I swear by the promised day of judgment, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, and I swear by the event and by the witnesses of the event. I swear by the witnesses of the event and by the event itself. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. Death be on the makers of the bed of fire. إِذْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودِ. When they were sitting on the edge of the trench. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ. And they were watching their enemies, believers. They are being brought one by one, tested right in front of the fire. They bring each man, woman, and child in front of, at the edge of the fire and test them. Ask them one question. Who is your God? Who is the owner of the names of greatness? Who is the creator of all? Who is the provider of all? Who is God on earth? Is it the king or somebody else? Or the one you claim in heaven? If you say it is Allah, the one in heaven, they push you to burn in the fire. And if you say it is the king, they save you. Look at this test. This is exactly the kind of the test of the false deceiving Messiah. Your life in one hand, and on the other hand, you have to choose sacrificing your religion or sacrificing your life. On this day when the false deceiving Messiah appears, this test is going to reach to its maximum magnitude. You might wonder and say, well, could it be harder than what happened to those believers of Surah Al-Buruj when they were tested before fire, either the fire or the or sacrificing your religion? It will be to the same magnitude, but in a different form. And the reason it is, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hardest test since the creation of Adam until the day of judgment is because of the magnitude of the people that will be subject to that test. For the false deceiving Messiah, when he appears in person, he's going to have full ownership and full control of all the resources on earth. Whomsoever treats him like God on earth, whomsoever praises him and admits and believes that he is God on earth, gets to live, gets to have a normal life, gets all these materialistic resources, water, food, homes. And all these materialistic resources are only available for the ones who say that he is God on earth and treat him this way as God on earth. If you deny him that title, if you say, no, you are a liar, you are nothing but the false deceiving Messiah that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have warned us about, then you get deprived from the water, from the food, from everything. On this day, the only place believers can go to, this place, are the caves. Believers will have no other shelter except the caves. They run away to caves. And when they run away to caves, they have no food except Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And let me hold on here. Because some people think that it is, you will be a darwish if you say that the food is Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar. Logically speaking, this is true. Similar to this situation is the situation of the person, a good follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they wanted to cut his leg, and then he said, hold on, let me start my prayers first. And when I get involved into the prayer, and you see me so much connected with Allah, when you see me in this condition, then cut my leg. Now, they tried to give him some alcohol or, you know, make him sleep. He refused. He said, just wait until I get into prayer. Same thing when we say that, when you say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, this is your food. Now, is that possible logically? Yes. Logically speaking, if you have a feeling, strong feeling of closeness to Allah in your heart, this will override the feeling of pain. So, the faith in Allah as a feeling, it's a very sweet feeling that will override the feeling of pain. I'll give you an example. When a friend of mine was doing a surgery, he had a pain in his back. And his pain was so hard that he was crying. And then they decided to just reduce the pain by giving him a morphine shot. When he got this shot, he's telling me, I swear by Allah, the pain was the same, but I was happy. What happened? My feeling of happiness overrided the pain. So the pain is there, same magnitude, but it's not bothering me anymore. Why? Because I had a superior feeling, and that superior feeling was chemically introduced to the body by this morphine shot. But believers don't need the shot.
believers, when they get so much in connection with Allah, and this is what Allah does to them, is that Allah will make it easy and possible for them to be so much closer to Him. Then they get this feeling of sweetness that you and me might have felt once in their lifetime when we cried, when we remembered Allah. Maybe we did it once, maybe, but those people, Allah will make this feeling very close to their heart. Once they go into this feeling will override the pain of hunger, the pain of being thirsty. It will override it so that they won't feel it. The pain of hunger is there, but they are not feeling it. Why? Because they are so much in emotionally connected with Allah. And so is this guy where they cut his leg. How could they? How couldn't he feel the pain when they did that to him? It's because he is so much involved in the prayer and he was having this feeling of closeness to Allah, and that feeling did override the feeling of pain that came to him when they were cutting his legs. So believers on that day will have no other shelter except the caves, and they will be asked, and they will have to go to these caves. Now, why do we need to worry about that, you and me now, for worrying about the false deceiving Messiah test? Because at every time, all the times, we are under test. This test range between an easy test and a difficult test. A test of the false deceiving Messiah kind of test to a lower test. So when you read Surah Al-Kahf on Friday, for 1 week, Allah makes it easy on you to resist the temptations, the attractions that makes you sell part of your religion or sell portion of your religion or sell your entire religion in exchange of a materialistic benefit. We all here get into situations where we are asked to either accept a worldly benefit in exchange of a portion of our religion or gain and hold on to this part of our religion and let go that worldly benefit or gain that we're getting in exchange. This fitna, when you read Surah Al-Kahf, Allah makes it easy for you to get out of it, to resist and say no and follow and keep your religion, which is the right choice. And this is why we need to read it. And this is why we need that. How about the false deceiving Messiah? Why did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam have educated us to educate our children that the false deceiving Messiah is coming? And why did he say that at the time of the false deceiving Messiah, when the false deceiving Messiah appears in person, it's going to be the worst time, and no prophet that Allah has ever sent that didn't warn his people against that. All prophets did. You don't believe me? Go ask the Christians. They will tell you, yes, the Antichrist is coming. Go ask the Jews. They say, yes, the Antichrist is coming. They all know, because they have been all warned by their prophets, that there is a concept of Antichrist. They twisted this concept because of the religion being falsified. Tazweer dinuhum zuwir, tazweer al-adiyan. The religion has been falsified and taken out of the true image into a false image. So part of this, the image or the concept of the false deceiving Messiah have taken out of its true status into a fake status. Yes. So some of them, for example, some of the radical Protestants, they say that the Pope is the Antichrist, the Catholic Pope. And some of the radical Christians say the body of the Muslim Ummah and the Muslims are the Antichrist. And so forth. You know, people have different definitions. But the true definition is, it is that person who's going to appear in person and puts you in this situation where you have to choose between either treating him as God or losing your life. When that person appears, this person has three signs. And we need to learn these three signs and teach and pass this knowledge to our children. Because, why? Because the people that would be saved on that day from worshipping the false deceiving Messiah are the ones who know his signs and are the ones who know this hadith that of the Prophet that I'm going to speak about. Those people will tell that false deceiving Messiah, no, you're not God. You are nothing but the false deceiving Messiah that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us against. And they will turn their back and run from him. And they will take with them some of the people that Allah has blessed with guidance, and they will run away to caves and be saved. The first sign of the false deceiving Messiah is that he comes from his name, Messiah. You tell me, Messiah, what is telling you? Messiah, why not the false deceiving Buddha? Why not the false deceiving Rabbi? Why not the false deceiving Hindu? Why Messiah? It tells you right away that he's going to come out of a Christian culture that is waiting for God to come. So when he shows up, they will treat him. They are waiting for him when he comes. They say, you're God, you're the Son of God, you're on earth. Finally, you came, and they follow him. So it is Messiah because he is going to come out of a corrupt Christian culture. The second sign is that he will have full monopoly over all resources on earth. At the time of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his companions wouldn't be able to believe that. I mean, how can you have so much control over the resources of the earth? Nowadays, with technology, I don't want to dream up a science fiction scenario, but you can see it. You can see it progressing. You can see the GPS. I can track you with the GPS anyway. You can see AT&T family map plan, where you click on a button on the iPhone, it tells you where is your son right now on the map. Because they track him, they track your son or your daughter by triangulation from the towers. They know where is he, and they show you the place on the map. And it's only $5 a month. And you can see that they can, for example, find all your transactions because of your credit cards, dealings, and everything. They can track you with a GPS. There are so many things they can do right now. And databases can track you, time history. This time you were here. This time you were there. You can see all of that now. Just imagine this thing becoming more powerful and more powerful and having control over the resources of the earth. You can go to Google Earth and zoom in on places and you see them. You can zoom in and some people have the power to zoom in to, you know, to see an ant, like they say, to see an ant on the ground from the satellite by zooming in. This way, by this technology, it is possible that the false deceiving Messiah can control the world. Another indication that shows you that the false deceiving Messiah theory is possible is that the circle of power and wealth is shrinking, is getting tighter and tighter. According to the United Nations Human Development Report, in the 1980s, the difference of wealth between a person in poor country and rich country on the average was 1 to 60. It went up in the 90s into 1 to 300. Now it's 1 to 1,000. How is that a sign to the false deceiving Messiah? It's because if the false deceiving Messiah will appear in an environment where wealth and power is well distributed among people, he will not be able to be the false deceiving Messiah that we know, because he won't be able to have full monopoly. But in order for the false deceiving Messiah to be as described, he has to appear in an environment where there is a centralization of power. And the power are all powers and wealth are accumulated in the hands of few. And then he comes and he takes it as an individual. And then he will have all means of power in his hand. And in order for this to happen, you can see how the circle of power and wealth distribution is shrinking one day after another after another. It's another indication. And then the third sign is the eye, the single eye. Is it going to be the other eye is covered? I don't know. Is it going to be not existence? I don't know. It's useless knowledge that it doesn't matter. It's going to be one eye. Some people say, well, if you look at the back of the $1 bill, there will be a pyramid with one eye in it. Is that it? I don't know. Is that an indication that the false deceiving Messiah could come from this corrupted superpower culture that is going to controlling the whole world, and it might evolve and develop into a false deceiving Messiah at the end? I have no idea. All I can see is that I look at the indications. And my role and your role is to be part of the solution. We can't fix the problems of the world, but we can be part of the solution. How? Whatever signs, whatever things that lead to the appearance of the false deceiving Messiah, we can stand against it. So the injustice of limiting the wealth and power, we can stand against it and be part of the solution. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge you and me at the end. Not that you have stopped the appearance of the false deceiving Messiah. Not that you have solved the problem of the entire humanity. No, Allah will hold you and me accountable of were you part of the solution or part of the problem within your circle of influence. Within that circle of influence where you have reached.
Were you part of the solution or part of the problem? How much contribution to the solution? How much contribution to the problem? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني داع فقولوا أمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين. أهل بفضلك يا ربي كلمة الحق والدين. انصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين. أهلك الطغاة والعصاة والعملاء المخربين يا رب العالمين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين في مصر وفي عون إخواننا المسلمين في تونس وفي عون إخواننا المسلمين في فلسطين وفي عون إخواننا المسلمين في كشمير وفي عون إخواننا المسلمين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. تقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء فك أسراءهم ادفع عن أحيائهم يا رب العالمين واشف مرضاهم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
Make straight lines between the gaps foot to foot, shoulder to shoulder. Don't leave gaps neither between the hearts nor between the bodies, for the shaitan likes to fill in these gaps. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
إن
الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير. إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.